This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Before we jump into today's episode, we wanted to talk to you about our ever-growing Facebook group that's on, funnily enough, Facebook.
It's called
Self-Care Clubbers.
So if you are not a member, jump to Facebook, search for us, and come and join the community.
It's a lovely group. There's lots of chat. There's lots of talk about self-care. There's lots of people giving advice. There's lots of people taking the mickey out of us and talking about bits that they liked on the show. It's honestly, there's posts every day. It's really fun. And we would really love you to be a part of it. You can just search on Facebook for Self-Care Clubbers, or you can scroll down to our show notes and you'll see the link there.
Anna, welcome to Self Care Club. We're so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat. I've been, yeah, my brain has been whirring.
Fizzing.
Yeah.
Let's start with, I'm going to say an easy question, but I guess it's not an easy question. What's the turning point, or what's the tipping point, in your opinion, from being positive and optimistic to toxicity?
Yeah. I mean, we all know how good it feels to be kind of positive and optimistic. And we know what it feels like to be around people like that as well. It can be quite contagious, can't it? And sometimes it just kind of turns our, you know, maybe we're feeling a bit kind of grey and a bit heavy. And if we're around someone sometimes that just kind of carries that positivity, perhaps they're able just to kind of inspire us to think a little bit bigger and to think a little bit more positively and bring balance to how we're feeling. However, the way I think it kind of starts nudging into that toxic positivity is when we start trying to override or even shame ourselves for some of those messier, maybe less kind of desirable feelings. And I really noticed this actually in the pandemic, and this is when I started thinking a lot more about it. You know, we clung on to gratitude and positivity, didn't we? It was a real kind of coping mechanism, and it really worked. You know, there were days at home and it was just pure chaos and the home learning, and I felt kind of really weighed down by the monotony. You remember that kind of like, oh, that overwhelm.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm sure you'll remember moments where you thought, for goodness sake, you know, you are not in a hospital. You're not mourning someone who has died. Get on with it. You know, be grateful. Can you remember those
totally.
Times?
Totally. Yeah, I mean, totally. I've got shivers. It's like a visceral reaction to what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah. And it works, doesn't it? You know, it really does work to kind of broaden our perspective and to tap into that gratitude. However, where it becomes toxic is what happens to those really incredibly valid feelings of like overwhelm or stress or exhaustion or those needs that aren't being met, that perhaps if we turned our attention to them, we might recognize that. You know, are we shaming ourselves for having what is often a really normal human response to what's going on? And how does it feel perhaps when we open up and we share something? I remember this moment. It was literally about 7 years ago, and I remember it because it was one of those visceral moments where I shared with a friend how I'd been experiencing postnatal depression. And it was one of the first time I actually opened up to someone. And they turned to me, and this was someone who knew me so well, who had been a friend for so long. She said, Anna, think about it. You've got a husband who loves you. You've got two healthy children. These are things that people would dream about. These are things that people would die for. And in that moment, I knew what she meant, but I felt so ashamed almost or for sharing that. And if anything, it set me back in that important vulnerability. And I'd already been shaming myself for how I felt. And the key to moving forward often in our mental health is to recognize and value and validate our feelings. But with toxic positivity, often with the best intentions, we can end up shaming ourselves and others. So I think that's it. That's the kind of tipping point.
So one of the questions I really wanted to ask you actually on that point is, if you are met with that, someone is sending toxic positivity your way, and that was just a beautiful example of that, how can you manage that? How do you deal with that? Because it is so shaming in the moment, and also you don't want to shame the other person, but yet you just want to be heard and seen and all of those things. How can you manage it in a delicate way?
Well, I think, you know, the most important thing that we can fundamentally do is work on validating our own emotions and feelings and listening to them and naming them. And that can be really hard to do, especially for those of us who are so used to kind of overlooking them that sometimes we don't even have the language to explain them. And I've got tools for that. But I think in the moment it's saying, okay, I hear what you're saying. And either you can say to them, that's actually not helpful. It completely depends on that relationship, doesn't it?
Or you kind of
like hold that in your hand, what they said, and you kind of walk away with it and you think, wait a minute, what just happened there? I'm going to choose to let that go. And I, you know, this is why I love educating people on this word that we use all the time. And it's and. And it's one of my favorite words. I'd even contemplate having it tattooed somewhere on my body because it's just this three-letter word that is so powerful. And I think it really helps balance out this toxic positivity, right? We can feel both things. You know, we can feel so grateful that we perhaps have our health or our children. And we can also feel totally overwhelmed, frustrated, bored, lonely, resentful, all of those other things. We have the full spectrum of human emotion. And I think when we, with the toxic positivity, often we're making a statement to ourselves that it's okay and acceptable to feel and express gratitude and happiness and love and joy and patience and all of these things, but everything else is something that we should be dismissing or something that we should be overriding. And kind of acknowledges that they're both part of the human experience. They're just their feelings, their responses. And yeah, we don't need to kind of toxic positivity beat ourselves over the backside for feeling overwhelmed at an overwhelming situation or resentful when someone's not seen or they've hurt us or hurt because something's hurtful or finding it hard because something is hard. That's just a response.
It is interesting that you can also do it to yourself, because until I was doing the research for this show, when I thought about toxic positivity, I thought, well, that's something other people do to you. It's not something you can do to yourself. But actually, you can sort of gaslight yourself with this stuff.
Yeah, we do it a lot. We do it a lot. And I love the thought, you know, we never do this for happy feelings, do we? You know, I shouldn't really be enjoying this because so-and-so is getting married today or so-and-so has just had a baby. They're the one that deserves to feel happy. They're the one that deserves to feel joy. You know, it's as if there is someone at the top of the pyramid of feeling somewhere that is in the worst situation in the world. And they're the only one that truly gets to experience a feeling of, you know, hardship. When actually it's a bit of a dangerous game to play.
Yeah.
I think.
Where's the line? That's what I want to know, because I hear everything you're saying and I agree with it and I'm on board with it. But then there's always, listen, I've got an inner bully. I know I have. So if I'm feeling sorry for myself, I don't let myself stay there for very long. I'll feel it. I'll acknowledge it. I'll have a little rant with a friend, usually Lauren. And then I'm like, right, okay, we're done with that. We're moving on, which I know is obviously can fall under the banner of toxic positivity. But also, isn't it toxic to stay in those feelings for too long too? I want to know where is the line? You can miss it, can't you?
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because, you know, everyone's circumstances are so different. And I think it is just trying to become a little bit more aware of when are you just allowing yourselves to feel it? When are you really kind of swimming around in it? So, you know, imagine that you're in a little boat on a rocky ocean. You know, you're acknowledging it, you're being impacted by it, but you're not kind of swimming around in it and like kind of totally immersed in it. And I think sometimes we know when we're really kind of dwelling and trudging, and perhaps we're avoiding doing those things that we know help or having those conversations that we know help. So it's like, am I actually in a way hampering my own kind of movement through this feeling by not engaging in those things that I know are good for me. And then that's almost kind of self-sabotage, isn't it? And there's, you know, if we don't try and manipulate our feelings, we see that they come and go in waves. So for example, grief is a really good example of this. We can be in kind of the dark depths of grief, and then people start to emerge and they start to think, actually, I do feel like doing this now. I do feel like talking about that now. But then even then, it will just come in waves. So you might be standing, washing up, you know, and suddenly you get this kind of swelling wave of grief that just feels like it overcomes. And if we start to just trust our emotion instead of judging it and trying to change it, we'll recognize that feelings, you know, they're like those waves that just come and go. And some days you might just feel rubbish and you don't know why, you know, but you can either think, I'm just going to, oh, everything is terrible. I'm just, you know, it's everything is rubbish. I'm going to feel like this forever. Or you can think, what can I do today that will support me in this feeling? Then we're far less likely to kind of just be, yeah, swimming around in it, paddling around in it. It takes you to know yourself, and that's hard sometimes.
And allow yourself to feel what it is that you're feeling without feeling you need to dismiss it or deny it. Oh, look how she's looking at me in that rather pointed way.
Well, we had a very interesting conversation over dinner last night, didn't we?
We did.
And what was the term you used? Abstract denier of feelings or something like that. What was it?
I think that was the term.
That was the term.
Yeah.
Because Lauren is always fine. She's always fine and always has to be fine. And I think at times you totally, what you said, you deny what you're truly feeling. And I think that can be, I wouldn't go as far to say toxic because I don't think it's destructive for you. But I think there's some work to do there.
That's why I was laughing, because I said to Nicole, I'm the very opposite of toxic positivity. I'm just like an abstract denier. It's not, there's nothing positive in it.
Yeah, I love that. And it's, you know, what's under the surface that gets kind of wrapped up, you know, in a little box. And that is a coping mechanism. You know, it's a coping mechanism to be fine when we're not fine, because sometimes we have to keep calm and carry on. And this was, you know, there are kind of traumatic situations, or there are kind of scary situations, or just, the pandemic was definitely one of them for many, where you couldn't be not okay. Like, you just had to kind of hold it in.
Yeah.
But then we can lose touch with what some of those things are under the surface. And when I do coaching sessions with mums and therapy, sometimes I say, tell me three things that you're feeling and three things that you need. And this is often the point where people start crying, because they say, you know what? I actually don't know. I actually do not know. And this is, you know, sometimes it is that, do we know? Do we really know how we are? Are we fine? Like, am I? Do I want to dig around and find out what might be down there? Because sometimes we fear that if we allow ourselves to feel, we might be hit by this kind of exploding dam and never be the same again. You know, so there can be, it can be a coping mechanism that isn't going to kind of serve us as a way of approaching life forever. But it's just about, I guess it's about honoring ourselves in the full spectrum of our experience and our emotion.
Maybe that's the line. Maybe the line is, if you're sharing a feeling, a hurt, an expression of sadness or grief or disappointment with someone else, and they are dismissing it.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel something you shouldn't be feeling, or that feeling's not honored by the other
shame.
Person.
Yeah.
That's the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with yourself, though. You have to have that awareness around when you're doing that to yourself. There's something you said before about, we need to learn to trust our emotions and not judge it. And I think there's a lot of beauty here. Can we delve a bit more into this? Because how do we do that? How do we trust our emotional well-being? How do we trust that what our bodies are telling us are correct, rather than just feeling shamed or judged or like it's somehow wrong? How can we step into that trust?
How can we start? You know, I think one of the most powerful things that I often remind myself, because I've got three kids and it is full on, I've got one child that has kind of some kind of extra challenges and it is hard. And I remember having these feelings of just kind of disconnection and almost like rage at what had happened one morning with my with one of my kids, and I'd just been pushed to the absolute limit of my feelings, and I had exploded, and it was messy, and there was loads of collateral damage, and I didn't have the energy to kind of have those conversations that needed to be had. And I remember talking to my mum after the school drop off, just full of shame, full of horror that I felt some of the feelings and had some of the responses that I'd had that morning. And she said to me, Anna, your love is solid. You know how you feel towards your children. How you acted today, that is a response to what was going on. You know, it's not your child you dislike. It is the dynamic. It is the, you know, the symptom sometimes of kind of what of total lack of emotional regulation that sometimes happens in our home. And I found that so helpful. It was that separation of how you truly, the foundation of my feelings towards my children is love, and everything else I feel just kind of dances around on top of that. So love is like the floor, and the emotions are like the furniture on the top that is kind of there, and you can move it around, and sometimes it gets in the way, you can get rid of it, sell it on Vinted, whatever. So I just find that really helpful is, you know, sometimes just know what is that foundational truth that you are holding. And it might be that that foundational truth is that I really love my job. Maybe you're having a really hard time with your job and you're judging yourself because you know you're grateful for it. You know that you appreciate it, but you're judging yourself for being cross with your boss, for being resentful about this project. So you just pause and you think, what is that foundational emotion? What is that kind of that gratitude or that positivity or that thing that I know for sure? And it might be that, yes, I like my job and I'm grateful for it and I want to do well at it. What are all the bits on the top? You know, it might be the tricky dynamics in relationship, it might be the frustration and the resentment. Those things are just, those are the movable things. And those are the things that we can address. And those are the responses to the circumstances. So I think sometimes just that separation out of that foundational feeling and those things that are just kind of responding to the circumstances and not judging yourself for those and thinking, how can I address that, or how can I speak to myself differently or parent myself even sometimes through that moment? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. And I good. Like the furniture analogy that you
always
can,
an analogy.
Yeah, you can use, I can move the couch and, you know, I can move that table. It doesn't have to stay there, but the floor is always there. That's immovable.
Anything about lifting you're into, right? Is it heavy? Can I lift it? Yeah, of course you love that analogy.
To the guns. I love it.
That really spoke to me. Of course it did.
This episode is sponsored by Horizon Studios.
If you're traveling this year and looking for high quality, sustainable and beautifully designed luggage, then look no further than Horizon Studios, who've launched two new ranges. The RE Series, the world's most sustainable 97% recycled luggage, and now the revolutionary Air Series, the world's lightest high-end suitcase.
If you have airport anxiety, worrying about the weight of your case when it goes on those scales, then the Air Series is for you, and it is definitely for me. The Air Series pushes the boundaries of travel. Each detail is designed and engineered to combine an ultralight and durable product. It's significantly lighter than regular suitcases. Thank goodness, Lauren, that is brilliant. And it comes with a lifetime warranty because the most sustainable suitcase is the one that you only buy once. We used the cases to go to Paris and Wales last year, and as chronic overpackers, we could still wheel them around with ease.
We could. Ultra light and compact, the Air Series is made from a premium polycarbonate hard shell with reduced thickness and a recycled lining. It's 100% vegan and produced in a way that is 99% waste-free, blending design and function seamlessly. So, Nicole, you can pack those extra 5 pairs of shoes with no stress.
The entire range is available on the Horizon Studios website and in all leading department stores. Just go to www.horizon-studios.com.
Horizon Studios. Let's go further.
This week, we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple, and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
notion.com/self-care club.
I wanted to talk to you a bit about social media because we cannot have a conversation about toxic positivity and not bring that into it. And we were at an event last night with a lot of 20-something women, and I went home feeling really grateful I wasn't 20-something growing up now with Instagram. Yeah. That was kind of my main takeaway of the whole evening, which was nothing to do with social media. But these kids...
Well, it is to do with social
media. Well, what I mean is the evening wasn't to do with social media. No. But these kids have this whole set of pressures and images and stuff being pumped into their brains every day that we did not have. So how does social media play into this whole issue?
Well, the whole kind of good vibes only approach and the shiny filtered our brains,
especially in January, Anna. Everyone's
not helpful.
Yeah, the worst.
We want to hibernate. If we, you know, so many animals hibernate at this time, and that's what, you know, I think we'd love to do. I'd love to hibernate or go somewhere sunny, either one, but just step away because that's a very human thing. When we go on social media, because it's so new in terms of kind of the decades and the centuries, our brains are hardwired to believe what we see, you know, which is why we find magic so enthralling, because our brains are like, this does not make sense, yet it happened. And you know, it takes a lot of energy to really coach ourselves when we head to social media to remember this isn't reality. You know, this isn't the full picture. This isn't how that person actually looks, whatever it may be. We have to actually consciously remind our brains because we're hardwired to believe what we see. So, and this is the issue. Often when we go to social media, which happens to be like the busiest place in the whole world, where the most, you know, all of these images are, we're trawling through it. We often go there not when we have a ton of energy. We go there when we're tired, we're depleted, we want to escape. So that's why we're so lured in. And it's not because we're suckers and we're weak. It's because that's how our brains work.
So unfollow? Is this the advice?
There's so many obvious things that we're told also. Unfollow, don't go on social media, limit your time, you know, have boundaries around it, all of it. Listen, we have to be on social media for work, and a lot of people do, right? I'm sure yourself, you do. Everyone has to have an online presence these days. So how do we protect ourselves from that toxic positivity online? Because I'm a 45-year-old woman and I have got my stuff together and, you know, I'm pretty comfortable in my own skin, and yet it still gets to me. And now I'm raising two young women who are 14 and 12 and they spend their life on YouTube and TikTok. I mean, if it still infiltrates into me and can happen, sometimes I literally just get my phone. I'm so knee deep in it and I just chuck it across the room because I can't believe how I'm feeling.
You're like phone sick. I call it phone sick. You're like, suddenly you're like, ugh, what am I doing? Get rid of it. Get it away from me. I can't stop. Get it, you know, physically you want to throw it.
Yes, I'm knee deep into someone's amazing holiday in Dubai and I'm like freezing cold and putting on the ninth washing load or whatever it is. How do we protect ourselves from it?
I think the biggest thing that we can do is work on this offline. Because if we are wavering, if we are bullying ourselves or gaslighting ourselves or criticizing, shaming ourselves for feelings, human emotion, and then we go into that space and we're being told how to feel, we're being told that we should be positive and we're being told that we shouldn't feel like this and that we should look like that, you know, we're going to have so much more resilience against it. We're going to have this kind of firmer, louder voice inside of us that goes, yeah, okay. But I know, you know, and I've actually, talking about tattoos, I do have a tiny little anchor on my wrist here. And that is to remind myself, to anchor myself in the truth that I know, is that I'm loved by the people who know me most. You know, I am trying to do a good thing. And what is important to me is my family and my close friends. So it's that pulling yourself back to those truths. And the more that you can affirm those when you're not scrolling, the more kind of louder and confident that sense will be when you are. So, you know, it just becomes less impactful because you're standing more firmly in the things that you know to be true. You're kind of rehearsing them. You're thinking about them. So, yeah, if we are more confident of those things when we go into that space, we won't waver as much.
Nice. So what is our practice for the week that you are going to set, Nicole and I?
So first of all, it is notice. Just start noticing when you are criticizing or shaming yourself for feelings. It might be, it might be the but, you know, oh, I'm so annoyed, but I should feel this, or but I should be grateful, or but think on the bright side. Just start noticing, and maybe noticing when you're doing it to other people, or just noticing when that temptation is bubbling up. You know, because we want people to feel happy. It's hard sometimes when people we love are feeling grey and rubbish, and sometimes we have that urge to kind of inject some but positivity. So just start noticing. And then secondly, instead of the but, either use the and. You know, I'm feeling really overwhelmed, and I'm also really acknowledging the privilege or the gratitude I have as well. So you're bringing balance to that emotion instead of squashing it. Or you might just simply follow it with, and that's okay. You know, I'm feeling really rubbish today, and that's okay, because that's just how I'm feeling today.
Oh, this is going to be interesting for you. She cackles with glee at my uncomfortable feelings. Well, they're just feelings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And.
And. Yes. And. I'm uncomfortable. And.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't like this week of toxic positivity. And.
And that's.
I'm very privileged to host a lovely podcast.
Yes.
Not remotely connected, but that's fine.
That works.
Started the week yet. It's all right. I've got time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you for coming on the show. And will you come back on Friday to give our lovely listeners their challenge of the week?
I will indeed. I can't wait.
We can't wait to have you back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay. Okay.
Now we do Fridays.
Okay.
So would you like me to kind of reiterate that challenge, or would you like me to kind of add in a writing challenge?
What do you think?
Or a labeling emotion challenge?
Yeah, a labeling emotion challenge. Yeah. That sounds excellent.
Okay.
Anna, welcome back to Self Care Club. Thank you so much for coming back and setting the challenge of the week for our listeners.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
What is it?
So it is all about toxic positivity. It's about recognizing when you are using the positivity stick to beat yourself over the bottom for how you're feeling. So instead of, for example, oh, this is so overwhelming, but I should be grateful, but loads of people would dream of being in my situation. It's all about kind of bringing some balance into that. So I would recommend using the word and instead of but. So I'm feeling really overwhelmed, and I really do acknowledge that I feel grateful as well. Now, I want to give you another little tool that could be really helpful, because sometimes when I'm working with mums and women, it's that, you know, we spend so little time kind of focusing on how we feel. You know, often we're kind of concerned about those around us, that it can become hard to even label our feelings. So a labeling exercise is to imagine that you're going into a shop and you're trying on jackets, and you're trying to work out which one fits, and you just know when that jacket fits, you know when it's the right fit, because you put it on, it just feels really good. So what I want you to do is kind of name different emotions. Am I hungry, angry, lonely, tired, bored, and just name them to yourself. And you will find, I did this recently, and when I got to the word lonely, it just really like slotted in like a jigsaw piece and made me feel tearful. So if you're turning your focus towards yourself and thinking, how am I feeling? Just label some feelings and see what fits, and then follow it with, and that's okay. And this is something that you can do instead of leaning straight towards that positivity, which has its purpose, but often works to kind of overlook or dismiss some of those other really, really valid feelings. And writing that down can be helpful as well.
Love it. Brilliant challenge.
Are you going to do that?
I've already done it.
No, you haven't done the labeling one.
No, but I've already done it in my week.
Okay.
There's okay. Another little bonus one that you can
love.
Yeah.
It.
That you can, yeah. I love how you slip that in, Anna. Thank
just
you.
Slip it in. Slip it in. No problem.
Anna, thank you so much for being a part of this week and a part of the show. We have absolutely loved having you on.
Oh,
and
you.
For all the people listening, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so on Instagram, it's at Anna Martha. And then I've got various courses and resources at annamartha.com and a podcast called The Therapy Edit, which I'm going to have you on, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, we can't wait for that.
Yeah, we can't wait. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.